Haman should be understood not just as a conversation between father and son and the imparting of family mana, but a takarangi, containing the living and non-living entities that are contained within Ngā Kōrero Tuku Iho, or the memories or words that have been passed down through oral history, whakapapa. The film is loosely structured around the story of the demigod, Maui, and the goddess of death, Hinunui Te Pō. The way in which this pūrākau is commonly told is that Maui was said to possess superhuman strength and the ability to shapeshift into a number of animals. He transformed himself into a noke, or a worm, in order to obtain eternal life from Hinunui Te Pō. Maui's father, Maki Atutara, had recited the wrong tohi, ritual ceremony, which meant that all humans would die. Maui wanted to become eternal like the moon, and was told that in order to obtain eternal life, he would need to travel inside Hinunui Te Pō's vagina. During this assault on Hinunui Te Pō, a tiwai waka began to laugh, which caused Hinunui Te Pō to wake up and crush Maui with the obsidian teeth in her vagina, killing him. In some versions of this story, Maui had previously been unable to convince Hinunui Te Pō to grant humans immortality, and she bid him to die like the moon. To die in return, she told him, Me matimati aone, or let man die and become like soil. This is known by some to be the origins of whai kōrero. Such complications exist in other stories of Maui and Hinunui Te Pō. In the book Te Awa Atua, the academic Nahuia Murphy shares a kōrero from the late Dr. Rangi Marie Turu Turuki Arakirangi Rose Pere about a Naitahu word for menstruation, Maui. Contrary to most versions, Maui did not die, but achieved immortality after all, reappearing like the moon in the blood tides of women, flowing like an ancient river of time and binding the generations. Maui's monthly appearance signals continuity and the immortality of the people down through the generations. This deviation from the story most of us learned in primary school is one that guides the complicated route Haman takes. It is a story of whakapapa that reaches back to other pūrākau and even to the cataclysmic separation of Rangi Nui and Papa Tuanuku, where the only constant in life is change. It is as much about life as it is about death. Both are not final, but exist in a continuing loop of whakapapa. In Te Ao Māori, man originates from the soil and is returned to the soil upon death, but this is not the end. Soil is the skin and the outermost part of Papa Tuanuku. This is alluded to in Haman, where James films both a barren plum tree and avocado trees at his father's house, which serves as a reminder that we return to Papa Tuanuku upon our death. This duality is the essence of all life and enables the continuation of the endless cycles of life. This is also evident through the etymology of words in Te Reo Māori, such as ko iwi, which means bones, but also contains the word iwi, referring to nation, of people or tribe. Language is a constant consideration in Haman. In one sequence, we see James's father filleting fish, followed by a series of words that flash one after another. E toru na ika, three fish. Kotahi te whare, one house. Te uru huarako, the orchard. Te pō uri uri, a child of Hinunui Te Pō, also described as one of the stages during Te Pō, or the time of darkness. Te pō tango tango, a child of Hinunui Te Pō, also described as one of the stages during Te Pō, or the time of darkness. The words provide clues towards what is essentially unknowable, which is the inability for us to ever fully grasp who James's father is. There is also the word uri, meaning descendant or line of descent. This implies that the orchard is his father's Tūranga Waiwai, a site where he can trace his lineage back 9 generations. The land is an organic Māori-owned orchard, Ōtama Marere Trust, nestled near a bend in the Kaituna River, where around the back was the site of the Ōtama Marere Pā. This site was occupied by James's whānau for many generations and was an essential resting point for a number of coastal tribes when they travelled inland to Rotorua and its surrounding lakes. The site contains rich soils, thanks in part to volcanic activity that surrounds the area. It also contains a wetland full of freshwater kauda and tuna, which were once exchanged for kaimoana and manu. Given that he belongs to the land, Haman in turn cares for it as a kaitiaki. The use of text makes references to te pō and to darkness, which forebodes death, but also the idea of life and renewal in whakapapa. Hinenui te pō escaped the trauma and pain of her life to a place where she felt safer and could wait for her children and care for them when they joined her. This suggests to me the idea that when James's father dies, he will wait in te pō until he reunites with James. Perhaps these readings and translations are wrong or inadequate, and perhaps that's the point. We cannot put fixed meaning on how we understand the life and history of any one person, because there is always the capacity to draw new meanings or ways of seeing and interpreting the world. The subject of Haman, James's father Haman, never appears in focus, always through a haziness that, to me, speaks to the difficulty in trying to make a film about a parent, particularly when they are still living. Many of the stories I have of my own father revolve around watching movies together. My dad imparted a deep love of movies and the magic and imagination involved in storytelling. We both love the way a film can transport you into the interior world of someone else. But I have been wondering what his interior worlds look like. Not unlike James, I no longer live in the same city as my father, and I'm realizing that the threads of memory and oral histories that make up his life offer only a shallow outline of the person that he is. The older I become, the more I realize that we can only gather crude sketches of a person, and that they are always growing and changing and never static. I often think about how much I have changed in the course of becoming a parent. So when I look at photos of my own father as a young man before he had children, I wonder what kind of person he was, beyond the person I imagine through the stories he has told me about himself and about his family. What really defines a person is the stories their bodies contain. Tracing back my whakapapa, part of me always hurts seeing long lists of children who all died 2 years and younger. What made our tūpuna so different that they survived so that we may now exist? So much of our existence seems down to chance.